Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye Live with The Fedge. Heck, did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live. Intelligent media for the politically aware. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, April the 29th, 2017, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets. May all be well with you and yours. The weather here in Riyadh hit the century mark, or 100 degrees on the Fahrenheit scale, and at 5 o'clock p.m. we are pretty much still at that mark. However, it could be worse, as Riyadh today has been largely under overcast skies, you know, not completely overcast, but largely overcast. And there's been some widespread dusty conditions, which, of course, put it all together, that blocks out a lot of the sun's rays and keeps temperatures somewhat cooler than they might otherwise be. Winds are a scant 7 miles per hour coming out of the south, but as the evening settles in, winds are expected to shift to come out of the northwest and increasing as they do to around 10 miles per hour before dying down in the hours before sunrise. Lows are expected to hit about 81 degrees, and sunrise, I'm not sure when sunrise is tomorrow, but we're going to warm up tomorrow back to 94, so it's going to be quite a bit cooler tomorrow, and that's because tomorrow is expected to be actually even more overcast than it is today. So it's warm, it's Riyadh, what do you expect? But as the week gets rolling along, we are expecting temperatures to climb back to a well above 100 degrees. We've got a pretty relaxed show lined up today, as we came out of a very good show with Jim Fetzer and James Perloff last week. This week, Greg Johnson, editor-in-chief of Countercurrents, as well as a contributor at Countercurrents Radio, all of which you can find at counter-currents.com, will be joining us again. So that's Greg Johnson, editor-in-chief of Countercurrents, will be joining us in hour number three. Join us in the chat room, everybody. Good morning. First of all, let me just say good morning. Let me see here. I think everything is okay. I don't see people saying complaining in the chat room. So guys in the chat room, Nick Donin, Blau Ocean, Road Dogging, Wolfgang, Haji Ja, everybody, welcome to Inside the Eye Live. How's the chat room doing? Let me kind of bump that sucker up. Yeah, it's kind of quiet there, but it's pretty good. The chat room hums along very well lately. So, guys, join us in the chat room. Telephone lines will be open early today, 1-347-688-2902. That's 1-347-688-2902. Again, yeah, I see Snippets commented in the chat room that the Perloff interview was kind of a waste of time. Yeah, it really was, for whatever reason. And we speculate it might have been on his side. We did not have a great show with James as well as we would have liked. But nonetheless, we think maybe he was just processing too much on his laptop, to be honest with you. And he was chewing his own bandwidth. That's what we're suspecting, because we had pretty good connections last week. Anyways, join us in the chat room. Let's see here. You know, we are, as we all know, here in the West anyways, we've got 100 days now of Donald Trump in the books. We've had a Marine Le Pen victory, and we've had a Brexit victory. They're calling it a victory anyways, and you've got the elections in the Netherlands, I believe Denmark or Netherlands were finished. Geert Wilders had taken second. So we've had a lot of changes, and it's interesting to see. I saw something like the Pope was talking about fighting extremism. I mean, oh my goodness, fighting extremism. And I just kind of have to wonder what he means. Are you really saying that you're not supposed to be nationalist and look out for your own interests? That might actually probably be true. But nonetheless, let's see here. Where do we want to go with this show? One thing I want to talk a little bit about is this war on basically just common sense and speaking your mind. You can call it freedom of speech if you like, but there's a story, and you know, this war against this freedom of speech idea, it's coming from many different angles, many different fronts, and a lot of these fronts aren't even on the firing line. You know, they're not, you don't even know they're going on, but they're out there. And one of these stories that I ran across just this week comes out of the state of Oregon, up in Portland, Oregon. And there's this guy, his name is Mats Jarlstrom, and he was fined $500. This story's absurd, but it just tells you the stranglehold that those in quote-unquote power want to have to control speech and discourse. So last year, Mats Jarlstrom, he is a Swedish electronics engineer. He's been living in the United States for more than two decades, and he realized that there was a design fault in traffic systems after his wife got a ticket from an automated traffic camera in Beaverton, Oregon. Now, after exploring the math behind this traffic light timing, Jarlstrom concluded that the formula, which actually dates back to 1959, accounted for only two yellow light scenarios, driving through the intersection or stopping, but it did not account for acceleration or deceleration, but mainly deceleration as people start to slow down if they see a yellow light into a traffic light. So he went and did the math, and he said it took him about 40 minutes to figure it all out, put it into a nice little graph presentation, and he emailed his findings in five different emails. And the Oregon State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying in March of 2015 then opened an investigation on this guy for revealing, basically just doing the math, right? And in August of 2016, the rules body of that organization decided to fine Jarlstrom $500 for unlicensed engineering. And unbelievable, really, if you think about it. Basically, he just did the math. He's kind of like a citizen now, doing the math, finds there's a fault, and Oregon wants to fine this guy, and actually did fine him $500 for quote-unquote unlicensed engineering. And really, all he's really doing is the math. I mean, engineer at the end of the day is just math. So following some feedback at the 2016 Institute of Transportation Engineers, he began working on a paper he plans to submit to ITE, which is the Institute of Transportation Engineering Journal, or some other similar scientific publication. But he's now seeking court intervention, because if he actually goes and tries to submit this document, the district, the Oregon Engineering Board, Oregon's Professional Engineering Registration Act, can actually go after him and continue to fine him with another $1,000 in civil penalties and $6,250 in criminal fines, as well as a charge of up to 1 year in jail. And that is for basically doing the math on traffic lights in Oregon. This stifling, really, it has become so stifling, this effort to control discourse within the West and in America. Now, in a phone interview, Yarosim said that he wanted to bring information to the public. Well, yeah, that sounds fair enough to us. He says that he's baffled and shocked, and he feels violated that he can't state that he's even an engineer. He can't even say he's an engineer because in Oregon, the Oregon professional bodies there actually control that word. So unless you're a member of their affiliation, which means that you're paying your dues, you got your degree or your paperwork from only their sanctioned companies, you're not even allowed to say that you're an engineer in Oregon. And that would hold true for if you're a software engineer or any other type of engineer. The state of Oregon wants to control the actual use of the word engineer. Now, this guy, he's been in the United States since 1992. He's from Sweden, and he's just miffed. He's saying, like, you know what? How can we even have innovation in this country if we aren't even allowed to talk about what is kind of obvious and common sense out there, like traffic lights? Imagine that. Oregon is now keeping people from talking about making a better traffic light system because, quote unquote, he's an unlicensed engineer. That is how insane, quite frankly, all of this has gotten along in the war on free speech in America. Another interesting story about this war on free speech comes out of the New York Times. And let me see if I can find that story quick enough here. I pulled a lot of stories up today. The New York Times. And what's happening on college campuses is atrocious. And it's been that way for a long time. And I don't recall it being so bad when I was in school, but maybe because when I was in school, these organizations, these campuses weren't so overrun with this Jewish control, Bolshevik mentality where they want to impose some idiotic agenda, which seems to be the norm now on college campuses. But there's a author at the New York Times called Jerry W. Peters, and he writes that conservatives, that would be like an Ann Coulter, probably somebody like me for all I know, are eagerly putting themselves into volatile situations on campus. And when challenged by critics who pointed out that he was essentially arguing that conservatives, quote unquote, skirts are too short, what he basically said, what's happening on college campuses has a lot to do with how Trump fans flames over excessive political correctness into a tweet. So essentially what we have in America, and you've probably had the same thing going on in the UK and France and Germany and Sweden, is we have these left-wing mobs. They are essentially Bolsheviks. A lot of them are young. A lot of them are stupid. A lot of them have no clue. They have no life. They don't have the ability to even generate income, probably, unless they are out there doing what they are doing it, which is getting paid to protest. But now what they want to do is criticize people for going onto campus and speaking, mainly because they don't follow this Bolshevik Jewish agenda. And that's kind of where it's been now throughout the past year, it seems. Now, yours truly and people like myself, we've been dealing with this battle against free speech for quite some time. We've been harassed. We've been harangued. You know, you've heard the old stories. And it, for us, for myself, it's actually not so bad. I don't know if that's because I'm on a Saturday morning and just people think that there's nothing going on here. I don't know why. But I see it out there now all the time. It's like newbies, as Blackbird might say. But these new people to this idea of getting out there and speaking your mind, they really seem to be a target. And there seems to be a lot of efforts to shut these people down. So basically what the New York Times is arguing is that you don't have a right to speak on a college campus if you are speaking for a traditional conservative, really European American values. By doing so, you are, quote unquote, thrusting yourself into these volatile situations. Well, if these campuses and really what are kind of like these left-wing terrorists in some respects, if they continue to be able to just impose themselves violently and the police are willing to abdicate their duty in deference to them, then what type of scenario are or is or are these people, I could say, in government trying to set up? See, a lot of us, we believe in change. We understand change, and we want to see change in a rational, pragmatic, methodical method. But if there are efforts out there to prevent that change, to sabotage that change, to impose rules and restrictions that prevent that change, well, now we're creating a situation where it's impossible to have rational, methodical change. And see, nobody wants a revolution. Nobody wants to see shooting up on the streets. And we, quite frankly, we don't want to see the violence and the fighting and all of this. But the situation right now in the West is such that there is zero common sense. There is zero reason coming from the powered elite. And this powered elite is driven by its press, of course, on the rhetorical side of things. And when we look at this rhetorical press, which would be mainly the mainstream media, we see that even as of this week, a recent poll came out that said that 84% of Donald Trump supporters believe that the mainstream media is an enemy of the United States. It's an enemy of the state. 84%. Now, of course, polls are being what they are. We don't really know exactly how that poll was structured. But it's an interesting finding. A lot of us have known for years and years and years that the media is an enemy of the state. The media, but what people don't seem to want to grasp, you know, and it kind of, in some ways it humors me how people want to live in this, oh, nice golly gee bubble of theirs. They don't want to come to grasp or to grips with the fact that the media is Jewish owned. They don't want to accept that it's Jewish owned. They don't want to even mention in their mind that it's Jewish owned. They don't want to put the twos and the twos together to get to a four. And they don't want to put the four plus four together to get to the eight. And they don't want to put these eight plus eights together to get to the 16s. They want to pretend that, well, there is no underlying methodical system to the repression that continues to evolve and envelop the Western world. They want to just think that, oh, this is, I don't know what they want to think, quite frankly, because I think they don't want to think. That's really the reality. They don't want to think. They don't want to deal with the reality of a 9/11. They don't want to deal with the reality of an Ivanka Trump sitting there going to a Holocaust museum, hanging out with Angela Merkel, pushing for massive immigration influx back into America. They don't want to deal with this idea of a government run by and for the Jewish people. They don't want to look at this idea that 100 senators of the United States, 100 senators, put out some type of resolution asking the United Nations not to play favors against the state of Israel. What country are these people working for? Why are they wasting taxpayer time and dollars to pass a resolution that has to deal with a foreign state that, quite frankly, on the international scale, is not our responsibility as a nation? We have no treaty with the Israeli government. We have no mutual self-defense pact with the Israeli government. Do you realize that there is absolutely no legal commitments between the United States and Israel, yet for some reason we continue as the United States to do the U.S. bidding, or I'm sorry, the Israeli bidding? And I was talking to a Saudi yesterday. And he's looking at what's going on inside of Syria and Yemen. And a lot of people are, I'm sure, angry. I've been busy, quite frankly. So I can't get you an up-to-date moment here, or up-to-date idea, or up-to-date, opinion of the streets right now, because I've actually been too busy to get out there. However, I was out the other day and talked to some people, and they said, you know, this Yemen thing, we're tired, it needs to end. But they said, you know, two things. He said, you know, one thing that hit the port of Jizran, and they're saying, like, this little tiny boat was packed with TNT, and it was coming into, like, trying to get into the harbor area, and Saudi, you know, naval defense was able to pick it up on radar. They blew it up, and when they did some research, they found that this thing was being piloted remotely. Well, they're saying, look, who's doing this? It's not the Yemenis who are doing it. They don't have the power to do it. They don't have the resources. How are they going to remote control something into a port in the middle of Jizan on the other side of Saudi Arabia from Yemen? How did they do that? So they're saying, look, we also have our problems. And I'm like, yes, you do. The Syria is a big problem for you guys. Yemen's a big problem for you guys. The budgets are a big problem for you guys. I said, you've got a lot of problems, but you guys seem to think that you can defeat all of this stuff out there. And he said, you know what we think our problem is? I said, oh, no, tell me. He said, well, you know, the problem with America is that you guys allow your Jewish elites to control your country, and it's not in your interest what's going on. And since the Jewish people control your country, and since your country pretty much controls our country, Jewish people are controlling Saudi Arabia by default, and it's against none of our interest to see what's going on. You see what's happening here, guys? People on the outside world are starting to grasp at this overwhelming Jewish dominance in American politics is detrimental to really the health and sanity of the global, of the globe. I mean, of this planet of ours. There's so much going on right now. You know, it was crazy. First of all, let me just break off from this story here. I want to get into something. I got about 3 to 5 minutes, and I promised I would do this. If you guys are familiar with Inside the Eye Live, going way back into time, we've been doing this since 2011. July of 2011 was when we started, the very last week. And that, if you could have gotten at that first show, people who were there, they will remember that. It's kind of a little bit of history here. But what happened was, like, within a year, a website called grism.blogspot.com started to pick up my stuff before, and they were basically taking it and they were BitTorrenting Inside the Eye Live on torrent sites. So we were getting pretty good. And then they switched, and this was being done on a website called consen.org, which was like a website with a lot of BitTorrent type of guys. And I remembered going on to Consen and thanking them for it. And that's when I got introduced to some of the people behind grisms.blogspot.com. Well, eventually, they moved everything from Consen to Grism and put this stuff up on some hosted sites. And I remember in the early days of doing Inside the Eye Live, you know, we would be happy when we got 100 downloads or listens to a radio show. This was in the very early days. We get 100. And then we would, like, get excited when we broke 250. And then I remember getting really excited when we started to break 500. And then, wow, we were breaking 1,000. That was amazing. And then, wow. But now, guys, we're well over 3,000, 3,200, 3,300. Now is about the average show. And what happened at Grism is one of the guys there, he goes by the name of Zap Hopper, and I'll give his name out there. That's his stage name out there on Grisms. And what happened is that he has lost his job years and years ago, and he kept up the Grism site, and he's now the official archive agent for Inside the Eye Live. And notice he has my private passwords. He goes in, he edits the shows, he does the posting, he does all of this work. And what he did is, and he's got to put this back up. He hasn't done that yet because he's a little shy. But he's hasn't had work for years, and he picks up the oddball job work out there, and he kind of got pretty broke, and he put out a story, so I am sort of broke. And a cute thing with the baby's face says, you mean to tell me you don't know how to manage your money? But no, he was asking for donations, and he's asking for donations. He said he'd keep it up for just a couple days. I said, please, keep it up for at least a week, because our week cycle, or our listener cycle is for a full week. So I said, keep it up there. So right now, I asked him to keep it up, quite frankly. But there is a article there called, So I'm Sort of Broke. And if you could make a donation to help these guys out, especially the person behind it, my personal archiver, he works really hard, does a lot of great work at Grism. If you're familiar with grism.blogspot, a lot of people get exposure from this website. It's a very well-trafficked website. Again, we encourage you, do what you can here, because he's actually far exceeded his expectations, by the way. Already he's raised something like $650 in 2 days, and it's now we're into the third day. But we like to really get this guy a little bit of a breathing space, because he doesn't have work, and you know how it is out there for a lot of you guys. So again, go to grism.blogspot.com. That's grism.blogspot.com. And make a donation through PayPal, because he deserves it, quite frankly. And he does a lot of work. He is our official archiver here at Inside the Eye Live. I know Blackbird, who does the cat report for us, he's donated $30. Thank you, he said, for that. Others have raised as much as $200 to help out over there. So again, that is grism.blogspot.com. So if you're listening to this on the archives, definitely get out there. Everybody, good afternoon. Welcome back. It's actually good morning. Good morning. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Again, this is one of the larger listener sponsored and supported radio networks. I want to say real quickly let me take this off. Yeah, take you out. Okay, to Jake. Jake in the chat room, thank you so much. He's already said he sent $10 over to grisms.blogspot.com. Again, they do a lot of work for a lot of hosts out there, raising awareness to their product, getting their product in front of a lot of people. And without them, we would not be nearly the size we are. And they've done a lot of work for us for a long time. We, of course, have a lot of private conversations behind the scenes because, hey, Zap Popper's my he's the archiver for the show. He actually takes the show, he edits it, cuts it, puts it together, splices it, mixes it down, and then throws it up into my private account on archive.org. And then post it on Grisms. And I actually pull everything from Zap Hopper. So he really does a lot of work, guys. So again, if you can, make your way over to Grisms. It's going to be, and I'm going to get off of this after this. But then I also got to get into the network. The network has been doing great, by the way. I don't know why. I'm not privy to that, and I don't need to be, nor do I care to be, quite frankly. But the network has been doing really great as far as raising money. I don't know who's sponsoring, what's supporting, but if anybody from this show is doing your part, hey, we really appreciate it, because it takes the pressure off of everybody, you know? So we've already reached our target for the month, so thank you so much for that. as far as keeping the network alive, up and running, and I'm going to have to plug that wire in or else I'm going to lose power here. But let's see here. How am I going to do that without interrupting my show? Oh, that's a bad thing. Hold on a second. I just moved the laptop and the darn thing just went and disconnected itself, and I'll like lose my entire thing before the show ends. So hold on while I kind of replug the laptop back in. I got two laptops here, everybody. One's actually plugged into a 40-inch TV right in front of me. So it's like I got a double monitor. I can look at this part and look at the TV sometimes, look at my little laptop and move along. Anyways, but guys, thanks so much for supporting the network. If any of you are out there supporting the network, very, very, very much appreciated by everybody involved. Helps take the pressure off. We can continue to do quality 3 hours of intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Let's see here. For us, of course, the last bit here, the Cat Report, it's proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all things great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Frederick C. Blackbird, a.k.a. Blackbird Nine. Frederick is an NSA whistleblower, 9/11 truth advocate, former 32-degree Mason, and a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. on Spreaker. So you might want to just go check that out if you haven't done so already. To start the Cat Report, we want to say we got an email. We get a lot from Val now. Val's been a big contributor. He sends me a picture of his cat. His cat's name is Leo. It's a big, handsome, gray cat. Looks like he gets a haircut, kind of like a dog. It's a big, furry, hairy, long-haired cat, and it looks like he gets a haircut, and his tail is done in the shape of a lion. His name is Leo. And boy, what a handsome cat this thing is. Just stay away from the dartboard, dude, because I might hit you if I throw at the dartboard, and that would not be a great thing. But yeah, what a nice cat, Val. Thanks for sending that. Val says, what does Val say here? He says, besides making recommendations to the show, he says, nothing new from this guy. He says, great show last week. Leo is waiting for the Cat Report as usual. Cheers. And this is, of course, the time for the Cat Report. The Cat Report is pretty quiet. It's, again, mating season's over, which means it's no longer all the stress going on. We've got now some kittens outside my house here in Saudi. There may be. They're like from the last litter, you know, I don't know, probably born somewhere in September or so, something like that. And they are doing pretty good. They've been getting fed. I don't know who's feeding them, but I came home last night from an area, and as I was walking, somebody had put some food out for them. It's great to see this type of thing going on, in anywhere. I like to see things being taken care of like that. That's kind of cool. But that was kind of fun. But in Jordan, Bruiser's just been camping out, man. My blind cat is so cool. He's got like favorite pillows. We leave like 4 or 5 around in different parts of the house. And when he wants, he just plops down on the pillow. And he just looks like he's the king of the house, and he's just kind of looking around, but he can't see. But he's got that look like he's looking around, and he's listening around. How about that? He's listening around. And One Eye's gotten into a nice pattern. My big white cat, he's gotten into a nice pattern. He goes out, stays till about 3 o'clock, comes back to the door, and he just patiently waits at the door. And if you don't let him in by 3:30, 4 o'clock, he starts to yell at you, hey, open the door. And really, I don't know why this cat just doesn't jump over the wall and come into the house. It's easy to do because we always keep the back door open because it's protected. It's locked off from the public. So we always keep the back door open to allow air to flow through. And it's like, dude, just hop over the wall. Come down like every other cat does and just come into the house. What are you making me get up to open the door for? But that's the way he is. And since he's the king of my house, what can I do? But I'm looking forward, everybody, to getting back into getting back to home and see what's going on and enjoying sitting back, relax. And maybe, just maybe we're going to try to come to you from Kuwait City. We're still trying to put that deal together. Maybe we will run one show from Kuwait which would be rather interesting if we can put that together. That's not confirmed yet. Visa situations and other issues are hampering the negotiations here, but we're trying to actually do a show, do a cat report from Kuwait City. That'd be kind of cool. Anyways, that's the cat report, guys. It's kind of fun. It's quiet. Everything is cool, but it is brought to you by, again, North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all things great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Blackbird Nine, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. You can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. on Spreaker. And for more information, visit blackbird9tradingpost.org. That's blackbird9tradingpost.org. I get the emails, and I get not the emails, but I get public, private, I should say private messages through my Twitter account. You can follow me at Twitter at Radio ITEL. That's at Radio ITEL. And I get information, and I guess the most recent show, it looks like, from Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club is about mind your P's and Q's. And I'm like, that should be interesting. I haven't had a chance to sit down. Actually, I haven't even been home. But I want to go listen to that one. So, Frederick, that sounds like a great title to a show. It's kind of like what I have up there on The Illuminati Observer, everybody. But I want to go check that show out. I want to see what you did. It looks like it might be an interesting show. So, again, check out blackbird9tradingpost.org for all information. Let's see. Ivanka Trump. I don't know. You know, we've been watching a lot about, and, you know, the Trump presidency. And, you know, he's officially into his 100 days and he's signed like 30 executive orders and he's delivered on like 10% of the bills he wanted to try to get introduced. And he's blaming the GOP and he's out there moping around about how, oh, this is a lot more difficult than I thought it would be and all that fun stuff. But the feel I get out there is, at least within the far right, alt-right communities, Trump has really lost a lot of his star, a lot of his luster, a lot of his shine. Now, that may not be true just yet for the middle base of Donald Trump's base, you know, but people have to be starting to wonder what's going on with this guy. You know, he says he's going to get us out of all of this globalist stuff. And then the next thing he's talking about how my partners convinced me to stay with NAFTA. And it's a lot of convince me, convince me, convince me type of stuff. That's always fascinating about Donald Trump. And I don't mind that per se. However, if it's just you and then I look inside and I see all these Jewish people you're surrounding yourself by, it's like, you know, it's looking like in some cases the Donald Trump presidency was a charade. The whole campaign was a charade. And I know people like the renegade people. That's the line they've always had. And I've been trying anyways to be a little bit more pragmatic regarding Trump. And the feel I get watching this Trump presidency so far is something's happened inside. Something has changed. Something has, it's almost as if, you know, we've got something and you're going to have to do what we say, because his motivation, his enthusiasm, his, you know, his forcefulness, his getting in people's faces, his everything about this Donald Trump character, the president, has become much more subdued. It's like the heart's not there. All we hear about is North Korea, North Korea, North Korea. It's like, okay, President Duterte of the Philippines, they have made the announcement this week that they're going to be going after these Rothschild banking interests and their agents inside of the Philippines. Duterte has called Trump essentially to say, look, you need to back down, you know, like calm down a little bit. What are you doing? You know, this guy, he's not nearly, he's crazy, but he's not that crazy type of thing. Relax. His technology isn't all that great. You know, they had like this missile test this past week and it failed, by the way. And you got people like Mike Cernovich. Cernovich is this like, he's like the superstar of this alt-right group. You know, I don't know if he's really seen as alt-right, but he's like, oh, they just launched a missile. Well, so what, dude? What's important to me this week is that 100 U.S. senators signed some type of resolution calling on the U.N. to not to be more fair with Israel. That's a concern to me, because what you're telling me is that my government, the U.S. government, it's completely co-opted. It's a Zionist-occupied government. Let's be honest. It's Zionist-occupied. Because how else does this happen? You know, that you had the Jordan, no, not Jordan. You had the Jerusalem Times come out this week saying that with the Trump presidency, we have a new rise in Jewish elite leadership. It's like, you know what? But you guys have failed. Aside from filling your own pockets and looking out for your own interests, you failed the people of the West. You have engineered mass immigration, which you are doing specifically to destroy the ethnicities of these host countries, these home countries, where, quite frankly, without them, you never would have been able to survive in history. Because we in the West are actually far more tolerant than a lot of other countries out there as a natural part of our genetic DNA code makeup, so to speak. And now you want to destroy our countries because you know that if we ever get wind, if the people really ever get wind as to the crimes that the Jewish people are doing towards these countries, you're very fearful as a Jewish community what might happen to you. Gee, are you going to get kicked out one more time? And we're sure you're seeing that. Otherwise, why this? It's almost like you, as we analyze Jewish behavior out there, it's almost as if they are guilty of sin and they know it, and they want to essentially prevent any speech about that from getting out. Can you imagine? I don't have the name in front of me, but you had somebody out there that was just convicted of hate crimes, literally hate crimes, because he said there were too many Muslims in his hometown. How in the hell can you, excuse my language, how in the heck can you convict somebody of a hate crime for just making an observation of fact? And this is where we're back again. There's this war on rhetoric, this war on language. It's getting to the point now to where if you don't vocalize precisely what Jewish groups and Jewish elites say is acceptable, you run the risk of losing your job, maybe being harassed, maybe being worse, taken to court, sued, maybe even thrown in jail for criminal charges just for speaking your mind. We are reaching almost, at least on the war of freedom of speech, peak tyranny. And that's true within Germany. It's true within France. It's true within much of Western Europe. And it's pretty much true in Canada. It's not true in America. And I can't tell you, everybody, to those of you who are Americans listening out there, and I'm sure people will support this, I can't tell you how many times I hear in a month from various channels, not one, various channels saying, Fetch, man, you Americans, you can't lose. You cannot allow Jews to take over your country in a way that they've done with us, because you're the only country now that has the freedom to speak and you can actually get away with it and do it. We can't do it so easily now anymore. We've let it go. They've taken us over. You Americans, you can't lose. You must win. Otherwise, the West is going to be lost. Now, that doesn't mean we don't see people fighting across the West. Poland, they haven't had a single, quote-unquote, terror attack in the country. Why? Because they maintain a rational, sane immigration policy. The same is true pretty much of Hungary. But outside of Poland, Hungary, Russia, you've got attacks everywhere going on inside of the West. Everywhere. And all of this is being brought about, obviously, by this mass immigration. And it's not just mass immigration. We are talking about non-government organizations being paid to go pick up these African, it's mainly Africans, more than Syrians, guys. But, of course, you have Syrians, Iraqis. But a lot of these African sub-Saharan groups, and they're literally picking them off right off the Libyan coast, and drop shipping them or human trafficking them into Italy, to Greece, to Sicily. Then they unload their ship and they turn around and go do it again, and all under the guise of quote unquote saving them. This isn't saving. They are being ferried in. They are literally being human trafficked into our countries of the West, and the governments are doing nothing about it. The Italians have let it go. The Germans are encouraging it. The French are encouraging it for the most part. The Greeks have said nothing to say. Guys, in the old days, if you tried to do this to our countries, we would have torpedoed your ships. We would never have allowed this level of in-your-face violation of our immigration laws. And on the front of immigration, you've got the Brexit campaign ongoing. You know, they keep talking about Brexit. Boy, that's a beautiful cat, this Leo. It's on my TV. What a nice-looking, handsome cat. Wow. Beautiful yellow eyes. So you've got this Brexit, and it's going on and on. It's like they just keep stalling. You've got, I don't know what they're doing in the UK, but now Romania. Her name is Anna Berchal, and she is the minister delegate for European affairs. She said that the rights of Romanians and Britain, as well as the EU bill, are the two biggest obstacles to Brexit. In speaking with BBC Radio's Radio 4, the show called Today, she said something that Romania will not even start talks on Brexit until Theresa May agrees to give Romanian migrants British citizenship. You know, I'm so livid at this type of arrogance of these politicians. I'm just livid. And you know, these governments and these people involved, they put themselves into legally binding, difficult situations. It's like, what do you mean? I got to give your people citizenship before you'll talk to me. Well, okay. Sounds to me like this whole EU thing was a con game, because there was nothing about giving your people citizens before we talk to you about exiting. That's not part of the contract here. Where does it say inside of the separation papers that we got to give Romanian citizens British citizenship before we can leave? Where does it say that in the law? So why is she now who's really violating the laws here? It looks to me like the Romanians, and of course the Romanians and their quote unquote their Roma are some of the most criminal leading criminal elements throughout all of Europe. But no, you're supposed to give citizenship to all of these, not all of these, but a percentage that are quite frankly known to be criminal elements. Eastern European country is set to be holding the EU Council between January and June 2019, and that is when Brexit is due to be completed. So that's why she, I guess, is able to come in here. She was telling the BBC, for Romania, it is very important to fully protect the rights and interests of Romanian citizens in the UK, not just for 1 year or two, but long term. We are talking about numbers here. We are talking about people's lives, their future, their hopes. Well, you know what, Ms. Anna? This holds true of every single country out there. And every single country has a right to set its policies. Do you realize here in Saudi Arabia, they have a policy called legal citizen. I don't even know the program. I had it on my phone because they keep texting things to our phones. But essentially, illegal people inside of these countries, you have 2 months now to clear the country, and no questions, no penalties, no nothing. You can re-expatriate, just bring the ticket and you can leave the country. No flags in your record, nothing. Amnesty, you go home. In Jordan, they've been sweeping up lots of people and taking off the illegals. And of course, we being good citizens, we want people associated with our households to be legal. So we pay the fees, you know, to keep our people legal in these countries. It's not for places like Romania to dictate to another country what they must do with their immigration laws. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Today's date, April the 29th, 2017. Good Saturday morning, everybody, to all of you listening out there in the United States and Canada. And, of course, if you're listening in European and Asian time zones, good afternoon to evening. So wherever you're listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM or micro FM broadcasting outlets, obviously, it may all be well with you and yours. We hope you're having a great time. Can you believe we're essentially 4 months already into the year, 100 days of a Trump presidency, and not a whole lot's changed. I hear, you know, again, I don't know. I'm not in the States, but I hear that the economy in the United States isn't nearly as good as Trump is trying to pass this out to be. And a lot of this international stuff going on out there is a lot of dog and pony show to keep people a little bit distracted. But who knows? We'll have to just keep watching. As I said, I'm in a wait and see mode now because we've had a lot of confusion going on with this Trump presidency. He looks and appears, quite honestly, to have turned. He looks like an insider now, an insider meaning a pure Jewish elite. He doesn't care about America anymore. He looks like he's just trying to serve Jewish and Israeli interests. Again, I'm going to wait and see about that. But in the meantime, you can do something simple. Join us in the chat room. And it's always busy. Actually, it's gotten very good. Again, we're above 30 all the time now. So join us in the chat room at InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. We look forward to seeing you there. The numbers I see on the Shoutcast server look really good. So that's kind of cool. DSL filter blown out. I don't know about that, guys. Let's see here. What's going on? Audio's good. I'm glad to hear that because, quite frankly, it seems pretty good on my side. You know, this week, it's been like donation week for some reason. The station got a lot of donations. It's already current for the month. And I know if you know Zap Popper, he's very humble type of guy. This Zap Popper guy, you know, he actually got drunk one day. I'm going to tell this story. I used to be an admin over at grisms.blogspot.com, and I used to be an admin, and it used to be overrun with trolls, and I would be like deleting all these troll comments, and I remember he got drunk once and he came in and he yelled at me, "I made you an admin and you're not supposed to be deleting. We're all for free speech," you know, something like that before he figured things out. And I apologized to him. "Yeah, I'm sorry." Da, da. And then the next thing I woke up in the morning, he had deleted my account. I'm like, "Dude, what's with this, man?" So anyways, it's okay. It's his website. He can do what he wants. We're still good friends at the end of the day. But anyways, he's out there raising money. He really needed it, folks. So if you, again, we appreciate you supporting that effort. Again, grisms.blogspot.com. I forget the name of the article already. But anyways, I think I'm broke or something like that. But nonetheless, I received a nice gift from somebody in the audience, and it was a new mixing board. And it arrived, and it wasn't quite what we needed, but we tried to make it work. And it basically just had a defect. So we've had to tear the system back down, and we'll be sending that back to the UK because of the but anyways, thanks for that. You know, we appreciate the donation. It was a nice board. It's a nice piece of equipment. It just said it had a bad hum, and we didn't want to give you guys a show where you had this constant hum in the background because that would kind of get annoying. You guys are kind of used to good quality work here. At least we try anyway. So nonetheless, give us a call if you'd like. 1-347-688-2902. That's 1-347-688-2902. You can give us a call there. Word is spreading right now, and certainly I would like to contribute to that because we need to smash Jewish media, period. Guys, it's imperative. I don't think you quite even understand how serious this is, but Jewish media needs to be smashed. It's not a joke. It is an enemy of the American people, and really Jewish media is an enemy of mankind. It's not just the American people, but it's an enemy of mankind. If it hasn't become really plainly clear to you that Jewish elites are using your American military, your Polish, your French, not so much the French, but yes, the French, the British, to advance Jewish interests, you're just not paying attention, everybody. And there's another issue, and I raise it from time to time when I see it. And that's like, you know, we saw this week where they started to tear down some Confederate landmarks in New Orleans this week. And the trucking company, and I should have gotten the trucking company, just this story popped in my head. That's why I don't have the trucking company. But nonetheless, the trucking company was so embarrassed, they actually covered their sign on their door so nobody would know who was actually helping to bring these things down. All right, 704 area code Frank. Hi, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch, thanks for taking my call.
Oh, great to have you.
I've got one for you. This is not something I came up with. I forget where I heard it, but you know, you talk about a coup d'etat with the Trump administration, and what about a coup d'etat?
Yeah, a coup d'etat. We've been in a coup d'etat for about.
Yeah, I figured you'd like that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about this? Some of these shows I listen to will actually discuss the Jewish problem, and you know they'll even put out some pretty good information and exposés on different elements of the Jewish problem. And but then at the end of the show, more or less, they'll start winding up, you know, get towards, you know, approaching the third quarter or whatever. And they say, well, you know, it is the Jews, but there's nothing we can do about it. It's not all the Jews. So basically, we just have to keep our mouths shut and just take it. And it's like a suicide pact with the Jews. Like, you know, well, you know, we really can't do anything, and, you know, we don't have the, you know, it's like we don't have the will to stand up for our own survival. And I see a lot of these people, they seem to think it's a game, like it's some type of a game, and at some point there'll be a reset, we can start over, and maybe, you know, we'll have a better position next time. And I'm thinking, do these people, I mean, you know, sometimes they seem to really get it, and then you're like, they don't get it. They think this is a game. This is a life and death struggle for Western civilization. And they, at the end of the day, it seems to me that they really can't grasp the reality of it in their own mind. And they're like, well, you know, we just have to be nice and just kind of bite our lip. And, you know, we just, this is just the way we have to go. You know, it's going to go down like this. And we just, you know, we just basically need to go quietly into the night, go with some class. And I'm like, I don't get that mentality.
I don't either. It's an existential struggle. And if they haven't figured that out yet, and I'll be honest, I'm a latecomer to this. You know, other people have been talking about this existential struggle long before me. But you can count me on board now. I see it clear also. I'm with you. I don't understand it at all. They seem to think it's, as you say, it's a joke. A lot of them are still not really even awake yet, let's be honest. A lot of people are. This idea that you can do nothing about it is so counterproductive. These guys need to be ruthlessly taken out, quite frankly, because they're ruthlessly taking us out. I mean, what they're doing in Louisiana, you saw that in New Orleans. This is like America's Taliban.
Ideally, I mean, they at least need to be kicked out of the country, ideally. And sent to another place, maybe Madagascar or somewhere.
I was thinking, you know, there's got to be some floating, you know, some floating man-made objects that you can just let them fight amongst themselves and give them some fishing poles.
And short of that, they something needs to happen, an awakening, where at least they are not allowed to hold positions. And the government, especially, I mean, obviously dual Israeli citizens, positions in the media, academia, and banking. I mean, it seems like we could all at least come to a consensus on that, because they're destroying us. Many of them openly brag about how they're destroying us. And I mean, but at some point, I mean, you know, it's an educational process. I'm all for education. You have to reach a tipping point. You have to reach a critical mass of people that are aware and motivated in their own self-interest enough to at least say, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. We're going to stand up. We don't want to fight. We don't want violence. But, you know, if you're going to basically come out and say, hey, look, you know, you pathetic goyim, we're going to kill you, and there's nothing you can do about it, then, I mean, we have to defend ourselves.
Well, in a way, Frank, they are kind of doing that already. When you start to deny people the ability to speak, you know, even me here, man, sometimes because of my position, I kind of like watch what I say, you know, self-censorship, because you don't know what they can do when you need to be doing something. You know, they're spying. So you start to self-censor yourself out there. This is so caustic, you know, to the human soul, the human spirit. The good side, Frank, is this, is they've never kept any country they ever took. The latest, of course, being Russia. They've never kept a country. They don't know how. They just come in, suck it dry, and then as any host, they got to go somewhere else. And our role really is to keep the damage to a minimum. The bottom line is our body, the national body is diseased. And to cut it out, you're going to have to, unfortunately, cut out some of the good stuff to get to the bad. You know what I mean?
That's unfortunate. But they created that situation.
Correct. They created. They're saying, look, if you want to get us, you're going to have to take some of you with you. And we're like, you know, we don't want to do that because we're generally good people. But I think this is the reality that's been created, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, I got really pissed off about a month ago at this Trump administration. And then I said, you know what? I said, it's not going to do me that much good maybe to get all pissed off and start ranting and raving like I started to do. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to back off. I'm going to wait a little while longer. I'm not going to wait for 3 years or three and a half. Well, I mean, after a while, I'm just going to say to hell with it. But, I mean, I'm just going to back off and be quiet. I have my own personal opinions, but I'm just not going to go and try and demoralize everybody and everything like that. But I'm taking notes and I'm watching closely, but... Either he was a shill from the beginning, like you're talking about with the renegade broadcasting guys, they had something on him from the Epstein Island or something like that, or they got something on him that they can use, against his wife maybe there's something to this, what is it, the star?
Nine line? Yeah, the programming, mental control through long distance.
Or the Steinlein. There's this other guy that I listen to. He's a caller on another show, on the Stormfront, and I forget the name of it because my connection isn't always that good. It's hard for me to understand exactly what he's saying. But there's some plan where there's like these two competing factions, or at least multiple competing factions within the Jewish community, you know. And some of them are like, no, we need to back off on this immigration thing. You're waking up, you know, the goyim too quick, the white folk too quick. We need to curb this immigration thing because, you know, you're going to wake these people up. And then, you know, then we might have a problem on our hands. So they want to curb immigration. They have this other philosophy as to basically how to dominate. You know, and I can't think of the people in the chat room probably is familiar with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I have the term for it either, but I agree. That's another one, because we hear this linking of the nationalists, of the Israeli nationalists. And, I hear of this also. Even Trump seems to be taking that line now lately. You know, maybe it's not so bad. But, you know, no other country outside of the West behaves this way. I don't know if you're familiar with the Middle East and other countries, but they simply do not allow what we allow in the West. No country does. You know, if you get married to a Chinese lady in China, you lose your right to work. As a male, you know, if you're the husband and you married a Chinese gal, you're immediately, your work permits are terminated. You don't have a right to work in that country ever again. That's pretty harsh, but that's what they're saying. Don't get involved with our people. You want to live here and work here, don't get involved with our people. You know, when Filipina or Chinese goes to Israel, they have to sign a contract that they will not get involved sexually with any Israeli as part of the work contract. So a lot of countries do things, and we just need to study what's going on and start to apply in reverse what's happening elsewhere in the world. And that includes, as you say, the dual nationals. No country tolerates dual nationals except for a very few, and most of those are Jew-dominated like America. Anything else? Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I'll let you go. Great show. When you were talking earlier about the guy doing the mathematics, the formula and whatnot for the yellow traffic light and everything, I got to thinking, well, see, he figured it out. And not only did he figure it out on his own, but he spoke out against it. He spoke out about it. And they had to come after him. And I'm thinking, that's a great analogy. That's what the Jews do. If you figure out what's going on and that the Jews are behind it, and then if you speak out, they'll come after you and they try and ruin you.
Exactly. Same thing. It's the exact same thing. It's just another analogy.
Okay, man. Thanks.
All right, cool. Thanks. That's Frank, everybody. North Carolina. Always great to have Frank call in. If you'd like to call in, 1-347-688-2902, 1-347-688-2902. Again, we will have Greg Johnson in hour number 3. He is the editor-in-chief of Countercurrents, and he also is a contributor to the Countercurrents radio program or podcast. I got that new mixing board, everybody, and I brought it in, and I thought maybe my cables were bad, and I did all kinds of stuff to try to fix the whole network, and I didn't have the right jack, and where I went to buy we don't have like Radio Shacks here in Jordan or in Saudi, so I ended up having to buy like these very professional monitor headphones just to get to the jack so I could test this new device, and I'll be darned, boy, are these headphones really pleasant to work with. My goodness. Hands off to the company that makes these. They didn't pay me, so I'm not going to say their name. But nonetheless, boy, these are kind of really cool. Join us in the chat room, everybody. InsideTheEyeLive.com, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. It is continuing to hum along. And I'm not sure what's going on with Shoutcast, everybody, but the numbers there are huge today. Highest they've ever been, quite frankly, when it comes to one of those categories. So thanks, everybody, for listening to InsideTheEyeLive.com. Local time here in Saudi Arabia, in Riyadh, is 6:19 in the evening. It's still, I have the curtains shut, quite frankly, but I believe it's still daytime. I think it's still daytime. I think the sun goes down like it's 7 o'clock-ish, something like that, locally. Not sure exactly. Let's see here. I'm with Frank, by the way, and I've said it. It started with the call, not the call, but when we had Tom Goodrich on a few weeks ago, Tom was just livid. He was almost out of his head, out of his mind there about Trump bombing Syria. And yeah, it did not look good. But nonetheless, I think we need to still just take some time and step back, study, take notes and things like that. All right. Basically, Sean Kent, New York Times is currently undergoing a massive, apparently, this is coming out of the Twitter feeds, but basically what's happened is, again, Jewish control of the New York Times. They're saying that basically, hey, if you don't want to say what we want you to say, you don't have a right to say it, and we're going to call in our Antifa. By the way, I don't know if you saw the symbols, but symbols play a key role in politics. They're like rallying figures, rallying cries, And the 1936 or 35 Anti-Fascist League or something like that, Communist League, and the current flag of the Antifa organizations in America, they're essentially identical. They're mirror opposites, but they're the exact same design, exact same concept, exact same motifs behind it. In other words, they're basically just a modernized version. The current version is just a modernized version of the 1930s style of artwork, logo artwork. So what you're looking at inside of these Antifa organizations in America is a Bolshevik organization. These people are Bolsheviks. They are Jews. They are backed by Jewish power. They are infused with Jewish logic, infused with Jewish ideology, and we should equate them to being precisely that. It is a Jewish operation, a Jewish organization. One thing that I really can't stand about the Jewish people is the dishonesty. Okay, and what do I mean by the dishonesty? One is, well, it's the hypocrisy. I can't stand hypocrisy. And when you look at Jewish society, and a lot of you don't do it, and maybe you should, you go into their society and it's proud to be Jew, and you know, they talk just like that. I'm proud to be a Jew. And I don't know why the word Jew has such a negative, not just connotation, but it has a very negative vibration. I don't know if you've noticed that, but when you say the word, there's a vibratory essence about it that forms some type of disharmony, some dissonance in the ether. That word, it seems to be very well crafted to represent the kind of sinister evil behind it. And people say, Fitch, you know, you're lumping them all together. Well, I don't care if that's your theory. Because when I hear Jewish people talk about the Germans and the Nazis and blah, 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 I don't ever, ever hear them apologizing to me about segregating out people. Some are good, some are bad. No, they want to put onto us specific rhetorical restrictions that they do not restrict themselves to. There's this full-on assault on, let's say, the main demographic of America, and that would be European-centric Americans. And I know a lot of Chinese people that, quite frankly, make better Americans than some European-centric Americans. They're just better Americans. Same with Filipinos. And as I know a lot of foreign people that take on this European-centric civilization idea better than those within Western European communities. And that's kind of a damning thing to the Western world. It's a, I don't know if it's a parenting thing, partially. I don't know if it's a media concoction. I don't know if this is brought about by Hollywood, and I'm sure it's all of the above if we're to really study it and put it together. But this idea that what's good for the goose is good for the gander never seems to apply when we're dealing with Jewish, non-Jewish issues. Hypocrisy. Never feel ashamed of your Jewish identity. Instead, show it off with pride and take down any Jew-hating scoundrel who attempts to stop you. That's a tweet just this week or just a month ago from Elliot Hamilton. Okay, so basically what you're telling me from the Jewish community is that if you classify me as the quote-unquote a Jew hater, as if somehow I'm supposed to love you for who you are, screw you, little dude. You white hater, whatever you want to call them. But screw you guys. Here he says, never feel ashamed of your Jewish identity and make sure, and he doesn't even give you, you're not even a person, you're a scoundrel in Jewish eyes. And you can find these types of tweets throughout the Jewish community if you want to swim with the filth, if you want to swim with the scum, because it's a very dirty, disgusting world when you delve into these Jewish communities. They're self-righteous, they're arrogant, they're smug, they're stupid, they're idiotic. But the main thing, I guess, is their self-righteousness to themselves. As if somehow, if you don't accept their self-righteousness, you are a hater. Then the guy goes out and he types, but sends another tweet, white nationalism is a mental illness. He says, these white nationalists, another one of his Jewish friends says, this white nationalist is probably secretly jealous that they are not Jewish. Oh, isn't that interesting? You know, this type of chutzpah arrogance, it's disgusting. It's filth. There's only one way to look at it, guys. You're dealing with a disgusting scum culture mentality. These people are not civilized. On one side, never feel ashamed of your Jewish identity. On the other side, white nationalism is a mental illness. So how is it not that Jewish nationalism is not, and it's this hypocrisy just tells you the absurd environment within which rhetoric works today. There's this Jewish way, and then there's our way. And if you, as a aggregate group of people, do not start to stand up for your way, they're going to clean your clock, man, because that is the agenda. You should shout them down at every opportunity. Arm yourselves with some key facts. Arm yourself with information. Don't allow these people to call you a hater without you getting back into their face. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back right after. All right, everybody, welcome back. It is The Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Greg Johnson is coming up, editor-in-chief of CounterCurrents, counter-currents.com. So we're looking forward to having Greg back. I know Greg has got a few projects and a few speaking engagements coming up, so it's going to be great to reconnect with Greg. Greg hasn't been here for quite some time, really, quite a number of years, honestly. Yeah, we've been doing radio that long now to where he hasn't even been here in a while, so... But we're looking forward to Greg Johnson coming back. That's going to be an hour number three coming up top of the hour. So sit back, relax. We still got an hour and a half of intelligent media for the politically aware still to go today. Again, it's somewhat of a relaxed show. Chat room is humming along, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can join us there again at InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. I think I might have accidentally close that. I don't see where I'm at. Let's see. Where is the chat room? There it is. I got so many windows open. But yeah, we're up to 35, everybody. That's a great number, again, for joining in a chat room. Quite honestly, that's a pretty good show for a streaming media show on a Saturday morning. So again, thanks, everybody, for letting me know the audio is good. And all that cool stuff. It's great to see all that. A little bit of international development. If you're not aware, there's been a U.S. military convoy. Again, this is heavily armed with some Strykers and some other armored personnel carriers. They've moved from Iraq on the border, and they've now moved into Syria. They arrived in the city of Al-Kamishi this morning. The convoy is expected to head to the Syrian-Turkish border in the next few hours. This is very recent news, I believe. Let me see, when did this file? Yeah, that's this morning. So maybe they're on the way now to the border. This is after, really, it's an attempt to keep Turkish armed forces from carrying out attacks against Kurdish-led Syrian democratic forces. This past week, Turkey, put out a airstrike that killed upwards of 80 Kurdish military fighters there. And so we'll have to see how that goes. Turkey claims that they informed the United States, but according to a press release coming out of the United States Department of Defense, they said that, no, we were never informed. We did not approve of this. So lots of gray area. Again, there's lots of gray fog of war, as they say, just this week. Oh, let me see if I can do that. Hold on a second, Miss Vera. I see you're calling in, but I don't have you. Okay, hold on a second, Vera. I got you. Hold on. There she is. Vera, hi. Welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hi, Fetch. How are you?
I was looking at my TV because that's got the show script, and then I got off on my side my production, which is where you would show up, and it's like all of a sudden I saw you blinking there, and I couldn't hear you because I forgot to pot everything up. So I'm like discombobulated and doing well at the same time.
Oh, yeah, because you just answered it kind of strange, you know? Like, yeah. I can't listen and talk on the phone, so I'm in the other room, you know?
Well, anyways, you should try to listen and talk on the radio like I'm doing. I can't do it either, but I should try it every week, you know?
Hey, you're most excellent speaker. I mean, the best on all the shows, in my opinion.
Well, well thank you for
you
that.
You got my vote.
So what's
if
happening?
There was a vote.
What's happening?
Hey,
there?
Well, you know, one thing I want to mention, the latest that they keep showing on the news is how Facebook is allowing people, I guess all over the world, basically, to show that they're killing someone live, okay? And they leave it up on Facebook, right, for several hours,
mm-hmm.
you know, for everybody to watch it, right, rather than take it down or do something about it, you know, because obviously they know who has the Facebook site and everything else. They could catch the person immediately. You know, but they wait and allow all of this crap to happen. But I think the real reason for that is it's a form now to convince people that they've got a reason for silencing so that you won't be able to live stream. You know what I mean?
That's possible. I'm not going to say that's not possible. It's possible.
Because it just seems strange. It just seems strange that there's so much lately, you know, some kids killed a girl or, you know, and then somebody else kills a child and they and live stream it, let you see it, right?
Yeah, I mean,
anyways, one other thing I wanted to mention, you know, Albert Pike. He said that he was the Satanist and the 33rd degree Mason, I guess. He said the Third World War had to be fomented by the differences of the Muslims and the Jews, and like the Agent Tour would cause this, right? In order to create a war against the Muslim Arab world against political Zionism, which is the state of Israel.
Yeah.
But I think they've got it against all of us.
Yeah.
But this was the plan years ago.
Yeah,
you
1800s,
know?
Yes.
I mean, yeah. So for a long time, they've had all this crap in line, you know? And then, of course, they're bringing in people. I didn't get to finish last week some of the stuff I was thinking of. You know, in the schools here in Canada, a lot of these people that are brought in, they're starting fights with the Canadian kids, telling them their religion is, you know, fake. And, you know, these are Muslim people, or supposed to be Muslims, and demanding that they have a separate time for their doing their spiritual stuff, you know, like, whatever, you know what I mean, how they do it where you're there.
Here's the interesting, so here's the interesting, here's the interesting thing about the worlds here. If you get rid of handouts, government handouts, okay, you eliminate all subsidies to these groups, because of the nature of their society and their structures, they will absolutely fail, but then they should be deported. In other words, there should be no government handouts. If I go to Saudi Arabia, the government's not going to hand me money. You're not allowed to even come unless you've got some type of sponsor or contract to come. And
exactly.
We need the exact same systems in the West. Look, if you want to take 5 hours out of your day to go pray while we're working away and getting ahead of you, don't get in our face because your system can't let you keep up. And we don't need to hear your religious
exactly.
crap. We don't need to really, because it becomes religious crap when they impose it. Because their religion, technically, if you know the Prophet Muhammad and I live here and I know what's going on, when they try any of that crap with me, I just say, look, 1, 2, 3, 4. And they have to just shut their mouth because I speak as their prophet spoke. And therefore, they have no right to speak to me anymore. And as there are ways to do it, but you must speak with rational people. If you speak with these dumb, brain-dead knuckleheads that are imported into the West, you're just dealing with dumb, brain-head knuckleheads using religion as a cover to be a dumb, brain-dead knucklehead. And it's worse than that, let's be honest.
Yes. So I think, you know, they got a lot of radicalized ones. They're fighting with the girls and doing different things with the girls, too. Like, I guess, a lot of people have converted to Muslim, you know. I certainly wouldn't, you know, because I don't think that women are less than men, and that's definitely part of their belief system.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't understand. I see our Western system is very clear, you know. Par means equal, you know. Par means equal.
Equal.
And if you have a par...
Equal. Yeah.
But you have to understand... And the word we use is called parents, equal, equal. They're equal in the mix. You can't have one higher than the other. They're parents. They're parents. And our system tells us esoterically that they are equal. So any system that says they are not equal, obviously, is going to be against our systems.
I never thought of it that way.
But our system is a lot of what's going on inside of our system is something I can't even say because it's very tough and it's dangerous to say where I live. Okay? I can't say everything.
But
the parent,
from
the parent
where you are,
is very simple. The parent is very simple. Look, the word is designed to tell you there is equality. Par means equal. Finish. It's equal.
Yeah.
You know, and another thing, paradise. You know, they talk a lot about paradise, paradise, paradise. But the way the system works is on a bunch of cubes. The cherub, if you look at the cherub and you add up the words, the letters of cherub, it equals dreidel, which is like the spinning cube of the Jews on their Hanukkah celebrations. But ours is called paradise, meaning there's a pair of dice. There's two dice going on here. There's two cubes because you need the male and the female cubes co-mixed together. You can't have just a single cube. So this idea of this hexagon, the Star of David, it is a type of a hex. That's why we call it a hexagon. Hello. You know,
hey, really?
Yeah, hello, it's a hex. It's a hexagon. It is a spell. It's a mesmer. It's to keep you from seeing behind, and what's behind is the truth. So you wear this hex in front of you, and it's almost like the cross towards the vampire in the movies, but it's the other way. When they raise this Star of David hex on you, you yourself stop to see what's going on behind the hex. And you become a Nazi, and then you're back to just being stupid again. You're never getting back to the Garden of Eden or the truth. There's all kinds of this Kabbalistic spells going on right in the subsurface of it that nobody grasps. Nobody's trying to grasp. There's part of the reasons why the West is being attacked is because our entire language, linguistic structure, and codes this ancient basic truth that said Jews and their God are evil SOBs, and therefore they should be dealt with accordingly. And they know it. So they want to lord over our speech. They want to lord over our legal systems. They want to lord over our media. Because by controlling the core code to everything, they believe they're able to forego they can certainly forego the truth from coming to the surface. But they can't. See, that's why they're creating the laws. They're creating the harassment, but the main thing is the laws. I mean, just calling anything hate speech, what's that? Okay, I'll tell you what. If you're a Jew and you open your mouth, you're using hate speech, you should be thrown into jail for 10 years. If you use this type of logic against Jewish people and you start throwing them in jail for the stupidest of things, they'll be the quickest ones to use their money to get rid of those laws. Because it's
who runs the court?
But the point here is you have to understand how it works, so you can start to do your own machinations to change it.
Yeah.
And then you have to start monitoring every step of the way. Who's the key player in this town? That's what they're doing with this unbridled spying. Who's the key person here? Who's the key person there? How do we take this down? Can we slow their agenda by taking that person out? This is what it takes. It takes a lot of smart people working smartly to overturn what is a pretty cleverly designed system. give them credit. It's credit. It's very well designed. I mean, they've everywhere you look.
Of course,
it's like they
they've been working on it for a long time.
Of course,
with a lot of their own that fake money, right? I mean, you know, if I had control of the money, nobody would suffer. But they've got a different idea.
Yeah, I had that discussion with some Saudis just this week. They're saying, Dennis, how did they come to control your country then? I said, well, when they control the money. And I said, look, just TARP alone, $787 or $790 billion on TARP, one bailout. And they did trillions of dollars worth of bailouts. That money goes into NGOs. NGOs are then used. There's over 4,000 NGOs dedicated to Jewish-only interest causes. The vast majority of those go to Israel. So you say you spend $3.9 billion going to Israel, but it's really not true, Vera. They're spending $23 to $25 billion a year to Israel because of all these nonprofit donations that then make their way over to Israel.
Yeah.
And all of that money is also used
not just the organizations, the food as well. So they're getting money by the food,
Food alone is $1.2 billion. They're taking in $1.2 billion on just you eating. Yes, that's correct. And then a chunk of that money is again making its way over to Israel. See, this whole Israel idea project, it's just a bunch of insane morons at the end of the day that believe they're going to build the second temple, and GD is going to come down and literally, physically sit on the throne. And whether it is some alien force or who knows what, but they believe it, and they are working like the Dickens overtime to make it happen.
You know, there might be some truth to the alien force thing. There might be, because it just seems so difficult to believe that humans could be that way with other humans that aren't under some
I agree
possession,
with that.
Man.
Yeah, I agree with that. There is something about their society that is off the wall, for sure.
Really? And Benjamin Netanyahu, he thought it was a good thing that they bombed Syria or wherever.
He just
right?
bombed the airport this week also. He bombed a warehouse facility outside of Damascus this week also. The good thing right now is...
Somehow they can do whatever they want, those a-holes.
Basically, yeah, that's what they're saying. But the key thing now is that Israel has been limited. They're not going into Syrian airspace anymore. So they're having to use very expensive standoff weapons. Now they're trying to bring in what they call these, Pantsirs. These Pantsir air defense, those can be used to shoot down what Israel's doing. And I know that there was a report today coming out of Syria that they want to get access to this technology. And they want it under their control, not Russian control. Because Russia's only protecting Russian assets right now. And they give lip service to actually helping protect the Syrians.
Oh, I kind of thought something like that might be going on.
Yeah, they say because, they will, but it's all lip service.
Well, if they weren't in some way taking protecting, I think it would have been taken over already. Because, and then next Iran, right? I mean, then they got all seven countries in 5 years, right?
I tried
it. Well, it's past 5 years. But.
Yeah, I tell my friends here, I said, guys, look, Syria's not falling. Give it up. You want to keep burning cash?
Wait, I want to mention.
But give it up.
I want to mention, Fetch, the sacred day of atonement that... when they walk into a synagogue for the first prayer, they recite three times the Kel Nidre, that any oath or vow that they make over the next 12 months is null and void. So, and that's even in their Talmud. Remember the Kel Nidre. Remember, so you can be asked whatever, and it's all well because, you know what I mean? I guess that's for anybody that's got a conscience, you know?
Well, you know, it's their way. It's just an unethical system. I think the Talmud and most of what is Jewish religion is based on psychopathy and what is unethical. If you read the Talmud, it's one of the most disgusting, vile books you're ever going to read. And I don't even recommend you go read it. You know, but go read it. If you won't get through less, you won't get through more than, let's say, 600, 700 words before you say, this is absolutely disgusting. How can people follow this? But this is the Jewish system.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Anyways, great show.
Thank you.
I'll listen for the rest and let you talk to a little bit
right
yourself.
Up. Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call, Fetch.
All right, Vera. Thanks for the call.
Take care, eh?
Yeah, thank you. That's Vera, buddy. Calling from a mobile phone somewhere in Canada, Salmonarm, Canada. Always great to have Vera call in. She's one of the most well-read people I know, quite frankly. So I've now officially, Nighthawk, removed everybody from the conversation in case you're listening. All right, it's the Fetch, everybody. You got Greg Johnson is coming up again next hour. So looking forward to that. That's coming up in really probably about 3 more minutes. Join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button, and that will get you through the door. And what else? Telephone lines should be kind of starting to close. You know, I'll just give you a little story here, talking with some of my friends here, you know. Again, we like to caution all of you out there because you're hit with a lot of negative propaganda. There's a lot of good people all over the world. And I know sometimes it's hard to see when you don't see it. I'm not saying that what's being imported into the West is good. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is there's a lot of good people all over the world, and they get what's going on. And very few people outside of the West would tolerate what's happening inside of the West right now. Trust on that. It's the Fetch. Greg Johnson up next, everybody. Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We are scheduled to have Mr. Greg Johnson. Again, he is the editor-in-chief of counter-currents, countercurrents.org. And I have pinged him. I don't see him. So if anybody's got his private contact details, I don't have it. You might want to give him a call and say, hey, it's that time of day, dude, where you're supposed to be here. So I don't see him. I sent him a hello message. So apologize for that. But again, I don't see Greg on Skype. Let me look one more time. And no, you're not there. And no, you haven't said hi yet. But it says Greg Countercurrents on my Skype account. So I'm assuming that's the right Greg. I got a couple of Greg Johnsons in my contact list, believe it or not. So until Greg can get back to us, guys, we're going to just have to keep the show moving along because that's live radio. That's what live radio is all about. We don't have a whole lot of choice here but to keep the show going. who can, you know, Trump. I don't even want to get into Trump right now. Let's see. I don't know if you saw the news coming out of Israel. You know, Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley is the Indian neocon, former governor, I believe, of South Carolina or North Carolina, one of the Carolinas. And she's now UN representative to the UN or U.S. representative to the UN. She was showing some pictures about some dead children in Syria, and they were supposedly killed by gas by the Syrian government. But some people have started to analyze these pictures, and it looks like the children, and I would not put it past these people at all, the children were actually strangled. You can actually see strangle marks around the children's necks, so it looks like just maybe they were strangled. I wouldn't put it past these people at all. These are really sick, perverted, whacked out people. So you can expect something like that to actually happen. But, you know, they've got pictures coming out of Israel. And this isn't it isn't uncommon, to be honest with you. And what they do is Israeli soldiers, if you want to call them a soldier, if that's what you feel like you must do. What they like to do is they like to go in and they kind of like kidnap children. They kidnap a lot of children a lot of times. And it's very sad to look at the stories and the pictures because the parents are holding on to the children, trying to keep the Israeli soldiers, Jewish soldiers, really, from stealing or kidnapping the children. And these are children, guys, that are anywhere from between 3 to 7 to 10 years old, so oftentimes. And why, for the life of me, Jews feel they need to go kidnap or arrest three-year-olds goes beyond me. It's kind of like the story coming out of the UK recently where a British family had one of their children show up on a terror watch list, and the child was 6 months old. And they brought the child in, and the U.S. Embassy staff were so serious, and so they couldn't even see that this was obviously absurd. It's a mistake. But no, they were taking the whole thing so seriously. It's like, why are we paying for this type of service? You know, why? I mean, come on, guys. Where's common sense? We're just asking for some common sense. We're not asking for the world here. But why are we putting 6 months old children onto anti-terror lists? How do you do that? I mean, really, how do you do that? It just boggles my mind, some of the things I see going on out there in the world today. But, you know, a lot of times what the Israelis will do, Jews will do in Israel, is they will take old men. Palestinians don't age well, at least the guys that work hard out there with the sun and all, and they'll take these older men, and they will handcuff them and blindfold them. And then they'll like take selfies with these guys they've just done this to. And guys, most of us, okay, who are older, you know, in our 50s and maybe 60s, we are not of an age to where we want to go out and do things anymore. We're going to leave the fighting to the younger kids, quite frankly. Nothing personal, guys, but we've already done a lot of our fighting long before you got yourselves and ourselves into this position. And it doesn't mean we don't continue to fight, but we're not a physical threat to a lot of people typically. And the Israelis treat everything as a physical threat. You know, if you blink wrong, you're a physical threat. If you look the wrong way, you're a terror threat. If you sneeze wrong, you're a terror threat. And imagine, guys, we're giving $20 billion in total funds, I'm talking about state and non-state money, to the Israeli people, to Jewish people. And then they want to come back and brag about how successful they are. Well, okay, how about if everybody in my show today was able to have $20,000 to $25,000 in your pocket just because? Just because that's basically what's happening here. Just because. Would you be doing better off? Would you be better to help your mankind, help your family, do something better? Maybe you could start a business instead of having to buy from a Jewish company. Do you think that might be happening? And see, that's the problem we have in the West, is capital. Capital is something that we just can't control, because the banks are owned largely, not entirely, but by Jewish people. Certainly at the money issuance level. And what a con. We're paying interest for you to issue money for us? For what? See, that's the dumbest. That's like a crackhead stupid thing. It's crackhead stupid. Look, if you need somebody to issue money for you, put it out for tender, find out what the fees are, pay the fees, and let them handle the business for you. We understand it costs money to print money. Okay, how much you want to charge us per bill? And let's put it up for an open bid and just pay for the services and finish. Get the money distributed out, and then we could have some type of banking system that allows us to distribute money electronically, but that should be on a fee service, one time only. There's no interest for something like that. And then they want to take this money and they want to fund these NGOs and people like the Soros of the world, and they want to work overtime to create mass immigration to destroy the demographics of a society. Why? So their businesses can make more money by charging less for labor, or actually charging, paying more for labor, I should say. And it's just like this round, vicious circle. For now, I guess the U.S. economy is doing okay. You know, J.P. Morgan or one of these major companies put out some type of press release today that said America is expected to grow at 4.6% next quarter. 4.6% would be very impressive. Can't imagine it really is going to grow at 4.6%, but 4.6% would be very, very, very impressive for the United States. And I look at America now and I see Mnuchin, mainly like Mnuchin, but a lot of these Jewish people in power. And I'm not supposed to say anything of the fact that these people are Jewish. What, out of all of America, I can't find one white guy. I can't find one Chinese even. The idea I have about where America is headed, this Jewish, call it almost alienish elite, it somehow seems to have deemed Western European lands and Western European people as simply too civilized, too cultured, too intelligent, too sophisticated to risk having around when your agenda is to create a world of total chaos, to implode culture, to implode civilization. Western civilization has always, well, not always, but certainly it has risen very well on its own. And imagine where it would be today if we didn't have to fight all of those wars. It didn't have to fund all of these immigrants. If it didn't have to pay all of this money to Jewish bankers, if it didn't have to deal with accommodating all these other cultures other than itself. See, we had the manpower, we had the brains, we had the science, the technology, the motivation, the work ethic. We had a perfect storm of traits that allowed the West to survive and to thrive. And it did so for hundreds of years. Today, you can go to Germany and you'll have politicians telling the German people themselves, straight to the face of the German population, you are old history. You are not the future. Imagine telling that same thing in 1923, 1924, 1926, 28. Well, they probably did. And what they ended up with was National Socialism. National Socialism was a system that really rooted out much of this cancerous element that we see in the West today. To call the rise of Germany in the 1930s an economic miracle would be far from stating, far from what would we say, you wouldn't be exaggerating, put it that way. You would be saying, you'd be speaking very clearly. Today, we see too much implosion everywhere. I mean, everywhere we look, in the schools, in our policing, in our military, quite frankly, in our government, in our science, in our higher education. Everywhere we look, we see failures now in a way that largely is driven through or by political means or political agendas. So we have to really start to examine this again. lay back, sit back, relax a little bit. Don't overstress your brain. I think Frank today had a great idea. Don't talk. Don't get yourself too stressed. There's nothing you can do today that's going to change today, per se, in the big picture. That journey, as they say, starts with one step. You can take a step today, but at the point, we're at a point now where we really need to sit and analyze again. We've had some great successes, in my opinion, over the last year. And we don't want to dwell on these successes, but we want to categorize them, certainly. What did we do right to make these successes successful? You can call it the great meme war of 2016, for instance. The ongoing use of the internet as an education tool, as a forum through which like-minded people like yourselves can come together, sit, chat, talk, exchange ideas. Activism will remain a key. It is absolutely imperative that you fight back on the campuses. It's imperative. It's your campus. You, at some level, there needs to be some pushback. I know when I was on campuses, I pushed back. I pushed back against the administration. I pushed back against teachers. I pushed back against other students. Some battles were fought, and they were good, and they were right, and people supported me. Other battles, people would come to me to the side and say, you're on the wrong side on this. We recommend you back down. But at least the effort is there. It is completely intolerable for a roving band of hooligans like Antifa to be able to cruise this nation like America, and it happens in France, Germany, and the UK equally, as well as Sweden. It's inappropriate. You should never allow it to happen. You have to fight back. No, again, nobody wants to see the violence. Control of the police, we've already said, is important. Infiltrating these Antifa groups is imperative. Understand that at certain levels, the U.S. government or agencies of the U.S. government, obviously more accurately, are training Antifa in the use of violent suppression, and that includes the use of armed weaponry. Same is happening in Venezuela. The government in Venezuela is providing its supporters with weapons to help, quote unquote, control the lawlessness. Giving weapons to undeputized people to, quote unquote, control violence. What could go wrong there? And then it was released just this week that the U.S. government is trying to push through, congressmen are trying to push through some type of law that would provide naturalization and citizenship to 200,000 Venezuelans. Now, I haven't looked into this yet. I haven't peered at all. But I suspect that if you run a demographic of Jewish population in Venezuela, guess what? That 200,000, I would not be surprised at all to see that this is another case where Jews have been in a country. They have taken it down to virtually nothing. It is in near collapse and chaos. And now you've got 200,000 Jews want to bail out of Venezuela. And guess what? These same failures from Venezuela want to be imported into the United States. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but I would not for a second be surprised to learn that that is precisely what the end game plan is here. Why only 200,000? When they evacuated Jews from Russia in the 1990s, it was like 800,000 to 1.1 million. This is a tried and tested method of theirs. Drain a country dry, take as much of the resources as you can in capital, and then bail and leave it to implode and digress into chaos. And you know what's fascinating about Jewish people that I've met? Because they know they do this trick. Then they want to sell to us that they are, quote unquote, the beacons of light. That without Jews in positions of leadership, the rule of law would completely fail in the world today. Amazing. Without you awesome beacons of light, we would have no rule of law anywhere on planet Earth. That this planet would somehow collapse without Jewish genius running the whole show. But history, folks, that tells us a whole different story. History tells us that this is a people that are perennial failures. When it comes to actually running a country and building a society and leaving something lasting for the next generation, they can't do it. They can't do it. Now, if you want to measure success as purely how much money can you steal from your neighbor, then I would say that your measure of success needs to be reevaluated. You need to stop giving success to those who steal from you. I can sum up Jewish ideology, Jewish thinking, in pretty much one sentence. God said to me, you get a knock on your door. God said to me, this house is yours. Now get out. It belongs to me. That's Jewish logic. That's Jewish reasoning. And if you don't get out of the house when they tell you to, they will then use their network of provocateurs and traitors inside of the courts, the media, the police, etc., to steal it from you anyways. Because, hey, they said it's theirs. GD, God, said it belongs to the Jew. You must give it up to them. That, in a nutshell, folks, is what you're dealing with. And they will not stop at any level of violence to accomplish their goals. And if you haven't figured out Syria yet, and Iraq, and Yemen, and Libya, and what's going on inside of Europe, and so many Western cities, you haven't figured out this strategy. This strategy is all about destroying, and in the process, stealing the wealth in the chaos. That, in a nutshell, is Jewish economics. You recall 9/11. Who was it that put all those put options on United Airlines on 9/11? Funny, we can track down and people like me, if I want to go send $100 from here to Jordan, you know everything about me. You got my passports, you got everything about it, you got visa numbers, you got everything about my essence to be able to send $100. Heck, it could be $10. Everything. You can't send money without having this information. But you're going to tell me these idiots inside of the CIA or the FBI or Homeland Security or the Security and Exchange Commission, they can't tell you exactly who put those put options and then have these people arrested? You're telling me that's not possible? It's possible, folks. What you're telling me is you don't want to do it. You just don't want the truth to get out because maybe there's a bunch of Star of Davids hanging over their heads. Maybe the Star of Davids implanted on their forehead, for all we know. See, this happens all the time. Now, if this is how you measure success, then again, I would caution you. Why are you allowing this to be a measure of success? Everywhere you look, you're being hamstrung by an elite that says you can only talk about our accepted reality. You must accept global warming and you're at fault. You must accept that we are the beacons of light, or you're at fault. And you ever stop to think that they will not hesitate for 1 second to use any number of slurs against you? Hater, anti-Semite, bigot, I can't even say the word. There's so many words out there that they want to label you. Yet they are afraid of the one label that they truly are, and that is to be called a Jew. Funny that. What is it about that word? You know, I've studied that word a lot. The word Jew. Since Greg didn't show up, I'm stuck here. I'm going to have to rant a little bit. Jew. The word Jew. This is going to have to go up on my best of all series. Well, it's got the word ew in it. Ew. That's terrible, right? Smells. And it's funny how when General George S. Patton, I think it was S, maybe it wasn't, George Patton, he went in with General Eisenhower once to a synagogue inside of occupied Germany. And he said, one of his aides said, that the smell was absolutely wretched. It was beyond disgusting. And this is actually a very well-known trait of Jews from Western Europe or Eastern Europe. They're just dirty, smelly, disgusting people. I'm not talking racism. We're just talking, hey, no, I'm just telling you how it is, man. If somebody's dirty, disgusting, and smelling, or smelly, it is what it is, right? Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, they're just dirty, disgusting, and smelling. So the fact that they're Eastern European Jews means that Eastern European Jews are just happen to be dirty, disgusting, and smelly. This was traditional throughout history. Funny how the word ew has this connotation or sound of it smells. There's another element, and that is this idea of, how do I word this? It's something that takes on the essence of something, but it's never the real thing. And you could explain that in the word juice, I guess. If I drink pear juice, I have something that takes on the essence of a pear, but it's not really a pear, it's just juice. Or I can go and I can get a nice orange, even a mixture maybe, mandarin, tangerine, and navel oranges, and I could put it all together, and I could make it into juice. But the essence is there, but the real thing is not there anymore. There's been a modification to it. So there's something telling us that there are modifications philosophically within the word or the cultural fabrication. The best way I've ever heard this described to me is from this Taoist master I had worked with years and years, over almost 2 decades ago now. And he said, evil is like yin of yin or yang of yang. Said evil will always tell you how good and righteous they are, how great they are. They have to present themselves as being this way because the truth of the matter is they are the exact opposite to an extreme. And if people see them as this exact opposite and to the extreme to which they really are, they would rebel and fight against it in many cases. But the animal that's a predator, it doesn't like its prey to fight back. It wants to be able to attack silently and take a cheap victory, for this is less risk to the predator. It's all about risk reward. You don't want to have a high risk for the same reward you can take with low risk. So they say, we're self-righteous, we're the beacons of light, we are the greatest thing on planet Earth. We hear that a lot in various renderings. But the truth is, it's the exact opposite to an extreme. A yin of yin condition means that essentially you have frostbite. But in truth, when you sense the frostbite, it feels like your hand is burning or your toes are burning. You have this huge sensation of this burning to your hand, but it's not burning, it's frozen. It's the exact opposite. And if I have a yang of yang condition, I've basically burned my body. But what happens? The body is chilled. So what do? As a doctor, you put and wrap the patient in a blanket to keep it warm. This type of mentality, this type of philosophical structure, this is what is needed in order for you to begin to penetrate the esoteric layers within this battle with the Jewish people. And you are at war with them, whether you like it or not. And they're at war with you, whether you like it or not. They're not going to get in your face. Oh, anyways, it's the Fetch, everybody. Back with more right after. Welcome back, everybody. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Again, today's date, April the 29th, 2017, a good Saturday morning again to everybody out there in the United States and Canada, at least on the West Coast. We're already into the afternoon hour on the East Coast, local time here, about 7:36 in the evening. So we're about ready to wind up the show. Sorry, Greg didn't make it. We'll send him an email. I already have, actually, saying, Greg, just ping me, man. But nonetheless, he just hasn't showed. So maybe he's an hour late or something. He knows 12 to 1. But these things happen in the real live radio world. So then you got stuck with Fetch doing like 1 hour of just something. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes you never know. You get what you get. Thanks for the update in the chat room. Chat room is still humming along, InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button if you'd like to call in. 1-347-688-2902. That's 1-347-688-2902. And where do we want to go? We got like a half hour to go. I don't know if you saw it this week. Let's see here. I just got a ping there. Oh, very good. I just got this. I'm assuming I can release this. I just got this from the studio. It says, watching numbers over the last few weeks, you're still number one once a week host since early March, everybody. So thank you so much for the support that you've been giving this show. So again, we've been number one now on Revolution Radio, the number one weekly show. Not that there are three other shows I know that are beating me that are dailies. But he says here from the studio, we've been number one now on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com since March. So really, guys, you know, it's been a long road, but we've been doing very well. So thanks again to the supporting this show and supporting the studio, because between Nighthawk and his efforts and my efforts here, we've really got a great Saturday show for you guys, and we know that. We work hard to do it. We appreciate it, though, equally, believe me. It doesn't come easy. But we know the show's good. We've been doing it a long time. We have confidence in the show type of thing. But it's great to see that you guys are really appreciating it. So, again, thanks so much for that. I don't know if you saw the speech Trump gave about the Holocaust this week. But I'll be honest, what a filth, what a disgusting display that was. I was embarrassed, quite frankly. He's like, the Holocaust should never happen again. And I'm like, dude, who wrote that for you? That you didn't write that, did you? You can't be that stupid, could you? But we're in a situation, man, where it's just in your face. You can't escape it. Oy vey, we can't do anything. You just can't escape it. And so now, as if it's not in your face enough, I thought we had like Holocaust Remembrance Day in like January, and then there's something this past week. And now, just so you can't get enough of this, President Trump has just declared May 2017 Jewish American Heritage Month. I should try to say that again because that came out pretty crappy. May of 2017 is Jewish American Heritage Month, and it's marked annually since 2006 across the United States, apparently, and preceded each year with an announcement by the sitting president. So, okay, this is the first time I actually paid attention to it. So apparently it's been going since 2006. How do you like that? In a statement late Friday, Trump said that he will mark the month with a celebration together with his family, including his daughter Ivanka, Jared, his grandchildren, and the extended family of deep spiritual connection that binds and will always bind the Jewish people to the United States and its founding principles. Well, there is nothing in our founding principles that has to do with the Jewish faith, everybody. Come on. You can't sit there and like go out there and come up with hate speech and all kinds of vicious stunts and machinations to shut down any type of political discourse so you can have absolute control over the country that has anything to do with the founding principles. We're not a socialized system. We're not looking for handouts all the time. We're not here. We believe in freedom of speech, you know, freedom to associate, you know, things like this that you guys don't agree in except for yourself. He goes on to say this, and he's really a disappointment for me, honestly. Trump, that is. He says, in every aspect of the country's cultural, spiritual, economic, and civic life, American Jews have stood at the forefront of the struggles for human freedom. Okay, if you guys are standing, the Jewish people are standing at the forefront, and everything we see is a complete failure, then who the hell are we supposed to take to task when it comes to holding people responsible? Obviously, then you should be holding Jewish people responsible. The Jewish people, said Trump, have left an indelible mark on American culture. That they have. Absolutely they have. LGBT, transgender, and now they're adding pedophile to the list. That's an indelible mark by Jews. Antifa going around as a thug terrorist organization is Jewish people leaving their mark indelibly on the American people. The unbridled immigration that is destroying towns, that is Jewish people leaving an indelible mark on American culture. The use of the media to create lies that sends American men and women to die for Israeli interests, that is Jewish people leaving an indelible mark on the American cultural way of life. Okay, so if you want to have your cake, as my mother used to say, and in her own way she was very wise, well then you better let us, you know, if you want your cake and eat it too, you're going to have to take responsibility for the whole thing. See, if you look at Jewish achievements, we see lies in academia. We see Jewish achievement. We see abhorrent medical system practices where you can have your entire life destroyed by one visit to a hospital. You can see a situation where Americans are dying on battlefields that have nothing to do with American interests. Every single one of these should be focused not on you, but on Jewish people. Because as President Trump says, hey, they're at the forefront of everything. So if you want to be at the forefront of everything, you should be taking responsibility for all your failures. They talk about a prosperous, loving people, the Jewish people. They're not loving. Are you kidding me? Have you seen what they do to all of their enemies? Are you unaware of the 66 million? Let's just use the 66 million Russians that were killed by these people. Let's use the 10.6 million Ukrainians that they killed in Ukraine. Let's just ignore the 56,000 American men that died in Vietnam along with women. Let's forget about the 400,000 plus American soldiers that died in all over the world in World War II, all because of Jewish lies. This isn't a loving people, folks. There's nothing compassionate about these people along the way. The only compassion you get is if you first kowtow to them and you say to them, yes, Jews, you're the beacons of light of the world and we're just a lonely goy and we don't. No, that doesn't work, folks, because they're going to kill you off anyways. How about the GMOs? If you look in fighting the GMO scourge, you're going to find a lot of Jewish organizations and money backing keeping GMO from rising to the surface or the knowledge of it. If you want to see about the draconian systems used in the medical world, well, they're at the forefront, like they said. When you want to see a failed foreign policy that has you mired in war after war after war after war, well, remember the 100 senators who voted just this week to tell the UN to stop its anti-Israel bias. If somehow we want our senators to be fighting for Israel. See, there's a huge difference and disconnect right now between America's leadership, and that includes Trump, and the rising nationalist base. And maybe I'm naive. Maybe there's no rising nationalist base. Maybe it's just all a bunch of stuff in my head. It's possible. But I don't think so. I know history. And I know that this Jewish people that Trump wants to place up on that pedestal, I know they have never, ever in their entire history managed to build one civilization that ever lasted. They have only built, they never built anything that did not collapse. You cannot build a quality environment if you're building in sand, to use that old Jesus story. You can't build your castle in sand. You must build it on solid ground. And their entire castle is built on sand. Come on. They're Holocaust. They used the Holocaust to silence so many of you. And then those of you who aren't afraid, maybe they'll go after some of you and they will try to prosecute you. Others, they'll try to harass and silence you. But guess what? Besides all... All right, everybody, we are back. We're talking about how have confidence. Jewish society ultimately is built on sand. And I was thinking as I was trying to find a decent connection out of Saudi, it's like, yeah, it's kind of like building a radio station or a radio show using Saudi internet. Sometimes it feels like you're in sand. You know, it's like traveling all over the world trying to reconnect with the studio there. And literally, like, it's like 2 seconds to get to all these places in the world. And I'll tell you, that is no beer. I don't need to take your call now. I know I'm off the air. But basically, guys, yeah, that's kind of what happens sometimes is that we fall off. And literally, like, the network is just, like, wasted. Anyways, what I was just trying to say there as we get into the last minute again, thank you so much for all your support. We really appreciate all the support we've had, even through thick and thin, a lot of issues. We really appreciate it. It's not easy coming every week from Riyadh. Trust me on that. It's probably one of the more challenging environments I've had to deal with. But nonetheless, we get it done. Iraq would actually be more difficult, by the way, but I haven't done that in a while. But nonetheless, guys, we really appreciate it. But my point here is have confidence. You know, we look at Trump. We've always known his pro-Israel tendencies. We've always known that he's largely in the pocket of Jewish people. But play the game at this stage. Look, if they want to talk about how these guys are at the forefront of everything, then who else should be blamed, quote unquote, to use their term, when things go south? There is absolutely none. You should hold the Jewish elite and its cabal responsible at the end of the day. I mean, when I look through the list, it's a cabal. The communications director or coordinator for Trump is a Sephardic Jew. A Dr. Scott Gottlieb is your FDA commissioner. Okay? Do you really understand that politics is personnel? So if you get a Jew in here and a Jew there and a Jew in here and a Jew in there. Well, you are. All right, everybody, we are back. Hotels. I don't know what causes the problems here. But anyways, we're going through all the various areas where we look at Jewish influence. And again, I don't care if you're going to be a bunch of Jewish people in power. What I care about is, what are you doing for the people? What are you doing for the people themselves? And when I see a failure after failure after failure, when I see hardworking, humble people having to go to court because they didn't bake you a freaking cake, and I know that the agenda, this LGBTQP, now you got to add pederast to this because Jews are saying we got to add pederast and this is just an acceptable form, and I've got Jews in charge of the FDA, I've got Jews pretty much everywhere, you know, everywhere I look. Well, I'm not going to go blame the Chinese folks. I'm not going to talk about the Palestinians as the problem. I'm not going to rush out and try to say it's all the Russians, it's all the British. No, I'm not going to do that. When I see attorney, Jewish attorney, Robert Lighthizer as the U.S. trade representative, I'm going to assume that this trade representative is working for Jewish interest, not American interest, folks. When I see another Jewish guy, Reed Cordish, as my assistant, well, okay, what I'm seeing happen here is a Likudnik takeover of the government. And all the rhetoric and BS that Trump spoke about seems to be going out the window. You know, Kushner, who is Kushner? Who is Ivanka, by the way? She's over there. I mean, I look at Ivanka. Are you sure she didn't have a makeup job because she's Jewish? I mean, there's a lot of questions about what goes on inside of D.C., and we understand that. But at the end of the day, folks, America is for Americans. The British Isles is for the British. Ireland for the Irish. Germany, Saudi for Saudi Arabia. Got no problem with that. This is the way of the news. It's the Edge. See you next week. Thanks for listening.